بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، continuing our readings in عمدة الأحكام by الحافظ عبد الغني بن عبد الواحد المكدسي رحمه الله تعالى. He died in the year 600 after the hijra of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. Continuing our readings in كتاب الصلاة, the book of الصلاة. And likewise, في باب صفة صلاة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, in the chapter of the description of the prayer of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, the author, he mentions several narrations, and from them he says, رحمه الله, وعن عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنهما أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يرفع يديه حذو منكبيه إذا افتتح الصلاة. وإذا كبر للركوع وإذا رفع رأسه من الركوع رفعهما كذلك. وقال سمع الله لمن حمد ربنا ولك الحمد. وكان لا يفعل ذلك في السجود. The author, he mentioned the narration of Abdullah ibn Umar رضي الله عنهما أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يرفع يديه حذو منكبيه إذا افتتح الصلاة, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would raise his hands parallel to his shoulders whenever he opened up the prayer. وَإِذَا كَبَّرَ لِلْرُّكُوعِ, and likewise he would do the same thing sallallahu alayhi wasallam, whenever he would make the takbir for going into a ruku'. وَإِذَا رَفَعَ رَأْسَهُ مِنَ الرُّكُوعِ رَفَعَهُمَا كَذَلِكَ, and whenever he raised his head sallallahu alayhi wasallam from the ruku', he would raise his hands likewise sallallahu alayhi wasallam. وَقَالَ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَ رَبَّنَا وَلَكَ الْحَمْدُ, and then he would say, Allah responds to those who praise him, O our Lord, accept from us, and all praise belongs to you. وَكَانَ لَا يَفْعَلُ ذَلِكَ فِي السُّجُودِ, and Ibn Umar رضي الله عنهما, he says, and he used to not do that in the sujood, meaning he would not raise his hands in the sujood sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So we see here that this is from the description of the prayer of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and this is from the beautification and the adornment of the salah, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would raise his hands in these certain positions in the prayer. And from that, there are three places that are mentioned here in this narration. And in this narration, it has come that he would raise his hands parallel to his shoulders, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, whenever he made the takbir, and he opening up the prayer, takbiratu al-ihram. And likewise, whenever he would go into al-ruku', sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he make the takbir and likewise raise his hands in the same manner. And also, whenever he would raise up from the ruku', he would also raise his hands as well, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and then he would say, سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَ رَبَّنَا وَلَكَ الْحَمْدِ. Ibn Umar, رضي الله عنهما, he affirmed here now, but he did not do that in sujood. But he did not do that in sujood, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So we see here that there are three places for raising the hands in this narration, but also it has come authentically on Ibn Umar as well, radiyallahu anhu, that there is a fourth place, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would raise his hands in the salah. So we see that is legislated in this narration three places, and this is something that is recommended, but likewise there is a fourth place as well. And it is also recommended to raise the hands in all four of these places. And Al-Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he has mentioned in his book As-Sahih, the chapter, Babun Raf'u al-Yadayni Idha Qama Min al-Rak'atayni, the chapter with regards to the ruling of raising the hands whenever one stands from the two rak'ah, meaning standing from the tashahud after two rak'ah. And then he mentioned a narration with his chain to Nafi' أن ابن عمر رضي الله عنهما كان إذا دخل في الصلاة. Nafi', he's from the Tabi'een, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he's the mawla of Ibn Umar, and from the great students likewise of Ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma, he says that Ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma, whenever he would enter the prayer, kabbara wa rafa'a yadayhi, he would make the takbir. Ibn Umar himself radiyallahu anhuma, he would make the takbir and then he would raise his hands. وَإِذَا رَكَعَ رَفَعَ يَدَيْهِ, and whenever he went to ruku', he would raise his hands. وَإِذَا قَالَ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَ, and whenever he said سَمِعَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَ, رَفَعَ يَدَيْهِ, he would raise his hands. وَإِذَا قَامَ مِنَ الرَّكْعَتَيْنِ رَفَعَ يَدَيْهِ, رَفَعَ يَدَيْهِ. وَإِذَا قَامَ مِنَ الرَّكْعَتَيْنِ رَفَعَ يَدَيْهِ, and whenever he stood after the two raka, meaning after the tashahud from the two raka, he would raise his hands likewise. And then he said, رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ نَافِعٌ, he says, وَرَفَعَ ذَلِكَ إِبْنُ عُمَرٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا إِلَى النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, and the Ibn Umar رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا, he ascribed that to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So we see here with this narration from Ibn Umar that the author, he has mentioned, along with the narration of Ibn Umar as well and his action and that which he ascribed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, there are four places that one will raise his hands in the prayer. And the first one is in takbiratu al-ihram, at the beginning of the prayer. Whenever one makes the takbir, entering into the prayer, at this time one will raise his hands. And there is a consensus of the ulama, ijma' al-ulama, that this is recommended at this time. Raising the hands here is recommended. So this is the first place that one will raise his hands in the prayer. And likewise, the second place, and as for the second place, wa'inda al-ruku', and whenever one makes ruku', and the third place, وَبَعْدَ الرُّكُوعِ وَبَعْدَ الرَّفْعِ مِنْهُ, and whenever one raises from the ruku'. These are the three mentioned in the narration the author mentioned, rahimahullahu ta'ala. But in Sahih Bukhari, the fourth place likewise, in the other narration of Ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma, has been clarified as well, وَبَعْدَ الْقِيَامِ مِنَ التَّشَهُدِ الْأَوَّلِ, and after standing up from the first tashahud. So these are the places that a believer, he will raise his hands in the prayer following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It has been narrated from Ali ibn al-Madini rahimahullahu ta'ala. He died in the year 234. He is from the great scholars of al-hadith and from the mashayikh of al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullahu ta'ala. He mentioned and he said, هذا الحديث حجة على الخلق. This narration here is a proof against the creation. ومن سمعه فعليه أن يعمل به. And whoever heard this narration, then it's upon him to apply it. And he's referring to some of the differences of opinions that the people of knowledge have had with regards to raising the hands in salat. It is not proper for an individual to hear these narrations from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam that are collected and found in the books of al-Imam al-Bukhari and likewise al-Imam Muslim, which are the most authentic books of hadith and collections of the narration of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and then he would not raise his hands, or then he would oppose them, or then he would say, so was Sheikh so-and-so said this, or the madhhab that I follow is this. But rather, the madhhab of a believer is to follow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and it is clear. And these narrations are from the most authentic narrations collected by al-Bukhari and Muslim, and the fourth place clarified as well, and collected by al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullahu ta'ala. This sunnah, the sunnah of raising the hands in these places in this manner, has been narrated by a number of companions. And likewise, it has been mentioned from Al-Hakim Al-Naysaburi rahimahullahu ta'ala. He died in the year 405. He said, لَا نَعْلَمُ سُنَّةً اتَّفَقَ عَلَى رِوَايَتِهَا الْخُلَفَاءَ الْأَرْبَعَ. We do not know any sunnah. We do not know any sunnah that the four imams, that the four khulafa, any Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, and Ali, they have all agreed, and that they have all narrated this narration. that they have all agreed upon narrating this narration. ثُمَّ الْعَشَرَ, and then after that the ten who have been given the glad tidings of paradise, all 10 of them have narrated the sunnah. فَمَنْ بَعْدَهُمْ مِنْ أَكَابِرِ الصَّحَابَةِ غَيْرَ هَذِهِ السُّنَّةِ غَيْرَ هَذِهِ السُّنَّةِ. We do not know any sunnah that the four khulafa have agreed upon this narration, meaning they all have narrated it. And likewise, the 10 who have been given the glad tidings of paradise, and then after them from the major and the elders, from the elders of the major sahaba, all of them have narrated except this sunnah here. Meaning he's referring to the fact that this sunnah here of raising the hands in the prayer has been narrated from the best and the most virtuous and noble of the companions. All of them have narrated this, the khulafa al-arba'ah. And likewise, those 10 al-ashr al-mubashirun bil-jannah, all of them, they have narrated this. And other than them, from the elders, from the greatest of the companions, they have all narrated the sunnah. It has been collected authentically on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that he would raise his hands in this manner. And therefore, it will suffice a believer, and he himself, he will raise his hands. He only stepped into the prayer, believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and following the Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, وَصَلُّوا كَمَا رَأَيْتُمُونِي أُصَلِّي, and pray in the manner you have seen me pray. And this is how they saw him pray, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some of the people of knowledge have mentioned a wisdom from raising the hands, and al-Imam al-Shafi'i, he mentioned rahimahullah ta'ala, ta'zeemun lillahi azza wa jal wa tiba'un lis-sunnah, and it is a means to magnify and glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and likewise following the sunnah. And in any case, even if a person, he did not know the wisdom behind a particular legislation, but he knows that it is affirmed in the Quran or in the authentic sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will believe in it. If he knows the wisdom behind that, this is nur upon nur, and light upon light, and khair upon khair, alhamdulillah. But it suffices a believer to know that it was ordered, and it was ordered and legislated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he will submit in this manner. And Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned that it is an indication of removing the veil from the slave, removing the veil and the curtain between the slave and his lord. And meaning at this time, whenever he raises his hands, he's pulling back the veil and the hijab of ghafla, and the veil of heedlessness and forgetfulness. And at this time, he is leaving his desires behind and his love for the world behind, and he is preparing to enter upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, upon the worship of Allah azza wa jal with sincerity and with sincere hope and faith and the remembrance of Allah azza wa jal. And he is ready now to begin the private consultation with Allah azza wa jal. And no doubt the one who remembers this, whenever he begins the prayer and he says Allahu Akbar in that manner, and knowing what that means, and knowing the proper understanding of that, and then raising his hands in this manner with his heart full of hope and love and veneration, and with his heart full of hope and love and veneration and magnification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at this time he will benefit, and the heart will be alive, and the prayer will be good, and he will have humility and humbleness and khushu' in his salat. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Some of the people of knowledge likewise have mentioned that the purpose for the raising of the hands, and Allah knows best, is a beautification and an adornment of the salat. In any case, it is definitely a sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and all khair and all goodness is in following his sunnah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma, here he mentioned after the narration, وَكَانَ لَا يَفْعَلُ ذَلِكَ فِي السُّجُودِ, and he did not used to do that whenever he was in sujood. And the people of knowledge mentioning, meaning that whenever he's going down to sujood, he did not used to raise his hands, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and neither while he was raising up from sujood or going down while he's in sujood. And either when he's standing going to sujood, he did not do that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and likewise whenever he was in sujood and raising from sujood, he did not raise his hands likewise. And many of the people of knowledge have also used this as an evidence that likewise sujood at-tilawa. Sujood at-tilawa, one will not raise their hands going to sujood at-tilawa. Because of the statement of Ibn Umar, which is general and all-inclusive, كان لا يفعل ذلك في سجود, that he did not used to do that in prostration, when going for prostration. So the people of knowledge, or many of them, have mentioned that this includes the prostration of recitation. So whenever one is bowing, because or whenever one goes into sujood in prostration because of the recitation, because of the prostration of recitation, then likewise one will not raise their hands. And this is an evidence for that, and Allah knows best. So therefore, again, we see the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is to raise the hands until they are parallel with the shoulders, and yet the takbirah al-ihram, and likewise when going into al-ruku', and likewise when raising from al-ruku', and then also when standing up from at-tashahud al-awwal, after the first two raka'ah of a prayer that has more than two raka'ah. The people of knowledge have mentioned that the raising of the hands has come in many different aspects in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and has been reported authentically, like here, that he would raise them to be parallel with his shoulders. Other times it is mentioned that it would be into his earlobes, and other narrations have come into the top of his ears, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, hatta yuhadiya bihima mankibayhi, aw furu'a udhunayhi, aw shahmata udhunayhi, like this. And what Shaykh Uthaymeen, rahimahullahu ta'ala, has mentioned is that what is considered from the hands is the middle of the palms, is the middle of the palms. So understanding this narration of Ibn Umar, radiyallahu anhuma, and according to what Shaykh Uthaymeen had mentioned, rahimahullah, that he would raise his hands until they're parallel with his shoulders, meaning the middle of his palms are parallel with his shoulders. And the other narrations where it is mentioned that he would raise his hands to his earlobes, meaning the middle of his hands would be at his earlobes, or to the top of his ears, meaning the middle of his hands would be to the top of his ears, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And likewise, from the benefits that Shaykh Uthaymeen, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he mentioned in this regard, is that one will apply each one of these different sunnah at different times. And sometimes he will raise them in this manner to his shoulder, and other times to the earlobe, and other times to the top parts of his ear. And this is better and more beneficial, and in this manner one will be applying the sunnah in all aspects. One will complete the perfection of following the sunnah and following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he mentioned four benefits with regards to the issue of this affair, and with regards to the issue of the fact that sometimes there are different acts of worship that have more than one way to perform them. For example, here, raising the hands in the prayer. Likewise, we have seen this with regards to that which has proceeded from du'a al-istiftah, that there is more than one supplication, and that it is recommended for a believer to learn more than one of them. So this is called ikhtilaf at-tanawwu', whenever there is a difference, but it is a varying difference, meaning that the sunnah has come in more than one way. So like what has preceded in du'a al-istiftah, how it is recommended to memorize and to learn more than one of them, and to change from time to time the recitation from prayer to prayer. And sometimes with this opening supplication, and another time with that one, and the likes like this, memorizing two or three or four different ones in order to change from time to time. Likewise, knowing the sunnah here of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with regards to raising the hands, that sometimes he would do it like this and other times like that, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. By applying all of these narrations at different times, there are four benefits, Shaykh Uthaymeen, he mentioned, rahimahullahu ta'ala. And the first one he mentioned, rahimahullahu ta'ala, is that By doing this, one applies all of the sunnah, yani every aspect of the sunnah. So it's not just restricted to applying one aspect of the sunnah, but rather he is being more complete in his following of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam and taking him as a role model by learning the different aspects of the sunnah and applying all of them. And likewise, the second benefit he mentioned rahimahullahu ta'ala, and that is that in this manner, likewise, the sunnah is being preserved. The fact that an individual, he learns more aspects of the sunnah and then applies them in his learning of the sunan and his application of them, at the same time, he's preserving the sunnah and the legislation is being preserved in the knowledge that he carries and likewise in the actions that he is implementing and the likes like this. So this is a means for preserving the sunnah, and more aspects of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are being preserved in this manner. And the third benefit, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he mentioned that a person in this manner, he will not find boredom or become lazy and unattentive in the prayer, because he is constantly changing the methodology or the way that he's praying and the likes like this, or he is changing the way that he's moving based upon the different narrations and the legislation. So therefore, he stays alert and aware of what he's doing, and he does not become bored and tired or negligent and the likes like this. And the fourth benefit that he mentioned, rahimahullahu ta'ala, that in this manner it is easier for a person to have khushu' and to have humbleness and humility in the prayer, and for his heart to be present, because he is not always repeating the same action or the same statement over and over and over and over until it becomes like it is a custom and the likes like this, but rather he will vary in his movements according to the variations of the sunnah, and likewise into the statements and the adhkar according to the variations of the sunnah and these statements and in these adhkar and these adhkar and in these supplications. So therefore it is better for him and better for his heart to remain alive and to be present and to not become heedless. And Allah knows best. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.